See, it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to have the experience to back it up. That I had nothing but him. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be right here right now. I think I got two or three folk out here who got that type of testimony. I want to take you to a couple of passages of scripture that are connected in a prophetic way. And I want to do my very best to share this word that God has placed in my spirit with you. I want to give a few caveats. I am not your entertainer. This is a thus saith the Lord. This word is going to break you free from some stuff. And I want you to receive it like that. So every little thing, every little ancillary thing right now that has your attention, just turn it off and let it go. And hear the Lord speak into your spirit. Hear God talk to you. Hear him whisper in your ear. Hear him saying to you, he's about to unlock the vault. Yeah. You'll understand it all in a second. Genesis, the third chapter. And then I'm going to take you to Mark's Gospel, the 14th chapter. Genesis 3. Hallelujah. I welcome all of you who are watching us online, Facebook Live, logged onto our website, wherever you are. I pray that this word touches your heart and your spirit. I pray it changes you from the inside out. I pray it loosens the grip the enemy has had on your soul and on your destiny. I pray you leave today free. Changed by his power. The word of the Lord in Genesis, the third chapter, as we know this scripture, bears out that this is the Lord talking to Adam, Eve, and the serpent. The Bible says, because of what occurred between the three of them, he made some pronouncements on them. To the serpent, he said in verse 14, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly. Verse 15 says, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. Yeah. It goes on to say, and I will put enmity between you and the woman. There will be animosity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. King James Version says, between your seed and her seed. And he will crush your head. And you will strike or bruise his heel. Yeah. He will crush your head. Yeah. But you will strike and bruise his heel. Mark's Gospel, the 14th chapter. Mark's Gospel, the 14th chapter. Verse 35, Mark's Gospel, the 14th chapter. And going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Verse 36 says, and he cried out, Abba, Father. And he said, everything is possible for you. And he asked this question, take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but thy will be done. I want to preach to you from the subject titled, The Seed Vote. The Seed Vote. Father, I thank you for the word that you have deposited in my spirit, for the word that you want to speak into the lives of the people who hear this word, whether in this space in real time or who will pick this up down the road in the future in the digital space. Let this word always carry with it the power to change someone's soul. Father, I thank you for an unusual anointing. I ask for it that I may break the back of the devil. Speak to us a word that'll change our very nature. A word that'll cause us to be conformed to the image of your son, Jesus, and transform us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive such a word, and on our ears that we're able to hear it. Father, the most important thing is that you have your way, so no devil in hell is going to stop what you're trying to do today. No distraction is going to take away from this word that is so tethered to our destiny. I bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit. And I serve the enemy notice to say, you have no authority or power here. For this is the house of God. And we are God's people. And so we choose to give him all the glory and all the honor for what he has done, for what he is doing, and for what he is about to do. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. Before you sit down, turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can, show them everything God has blessed you with, and say, it's in the vault, it's in the vault, it's in the vault. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I know I chose two unusual passages of scripture that might make you scratch your head to wonder why in the world is Pastor going down the road of Genesis 3, where the Word of God talks about what we call original sin. It is in that particular passage that we understand that it is Adam and Eve who's chosen to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There are a few things that I want to clear up before I go into that particular text to cause you to understand what is happening in that scene. We know it as original sin, but I want to declare to you and I that I want to change the narrative about that particular passage and call it original goodness. I need you to understand to see the original goodness that lies inside of that text at the height of mankind's greatest fall. The fall was so bad that it carried for over 2,000 years until God unlocked the vault. Look at your neighbor and say, it's in the vault, it's in the vault, it's in the vault. In order for you to understand the concept, allow me to give you a bit of an example of what I'm talking about. There is that lies deep inside of a mountain on a remote island in Svalbard. I know you don't know where Svalbard is, but it's between mainland Norway and the North Pole. As a matter of fact, it sits 800 miles away from the North Pole. And what it is the global seed vault. The purpose of the seed vault is designed to be a long-term seed storage facility, and it's built to stand the test of time. The reason why it was built, because it was built because of the challenge of natural or man-made disasters. The seed vault represents, if you will, the world's largest collection of crop diversity. It was in recognition of the vulnerability of the world's gene bank that sparked this idea that we should also be trying to secure all of the seeds that are on the earth. Because if something happened to them through some catastrophe, we would have no backup storage in order to produce food for our future. And so they built this gigantic, enormous facility in the side of a mountain so that it can store backups, duplicates, or seed samples of the world's largest crop collections. The seed vault has the capacity to store 4.5 million varieties of crop, and each variety will contain, on average, 500 seeds. So at maximum, 2.5 billion seeds may be stored in the vault. The only way to get access to the vault is to have a seed deposit that you need to have, and that is your access key. The only way you can get into it is if something is being put in it to preserve the future of mankind so that there can be access to food if there is some type of calamity. Well, in like fashion, when we step into Genesis 3, we're stepping into an idea which is similar to that of the seed vault. It was God who made man in his image and after his likeness, with the understanding that something could go wrong. This is why the psalmist says that he made us fearfully and wonderfully. Look at your neighbor and say, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah. The fearfully part was that God made you with respect, meaning that you are not a robot and he is not your controller. You have the ability to make a choice with your own free will, and so he made you respectfully, knowing that something could go wrong, but he also made you wonderfully, meaning he knows all of the intricate parts of you. He knows how you tick. He knows the number of hairs that are on your head. Isaiah said that we're etched in the palm of his hand. In other words, we never leave his sight. He knows exactly what's going on in our life at every moment, at every second, around every corner, what's down the road, what's up ahead, what was behind us, because he is Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end. He has total control, but relinquishes the control because he has total control. So he is not afraid to give you a choice, because even in your choice, if it's the wrong one, he still has sovereign control to make the choice that might have been bad look like it worked out for your good. I don't know about you, but I've made some bad choices in my life that somehow looked like I was supposed to go down that road, because the God I serve is so good, he makes a bad choice look good. Oh, I dare you to touch your name and say, God wants to make you look good. Oh, God, you should have been embarrassed, but he made you look good. You should have been put to shame, but he made you look good. Oh, God, you should have been buried, hidden behind a rock, but yet God made you look good. He made you look good. If you really want to get real about it and tell the truth, you can look at your name and say, I ain't always look like this. God made me look good. If you only knew my testimony, you would be looking at me going, not you. Yes, me. But God made me look good. He is masterful at making us look good. And when we step into Genesis 3, we step into humanity at its worst. God comes to Adam and Eve and says, of any tree of the garden, you can rightfully eat, but don't eat the one in the middle. I want to give this one caveat that they didn't know what the fruit of knowledge and evil looked like. It's amazing that they never ate of two trees. They never ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but also they never ate of the tree of life. They messed around and ate from every other tree, but they never partook of life. And when you choose not to partake of life, it is easy to accept something that the enemy offers you as life if you don't know what life tastes like. But if you've already tasted and seen that the Lord God, he is good, when the enemy comes and offers you something that you know is not the life that God has for you, then it is easy to say, get thee behind me, Satan. And so the greatest enemy to you is not the devil. The greatest enemy to you is ignorance. Because if you come into the knowledge of who God is, you won't be destroyed for lack of knowledge. The Bible does not say my people are destroyed because the enemy has power. The Bible doesn't say my people are destroyed because they made bad choices. The Bible says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Touch your neighbor and say, I know God is good. And if I know God is good, then that should be the basis of all my decisions. I said that night, y'all made me scared. Look at your neighbor one more time and say, I know God is good. Let me see if I... All right, all right, all right. I'm just checking the room. Because if you don't know that, you won't have a solution to 10,000 problems. A solution to 10,000 problems is this: I know God is good. And so if I'm going through something bad, then it must be for my good. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. Y'all don't want to talk back to me. As a believer in the 21st century, I feel my prophetic inclination coming on. As a believer in the 21st century, you have to reconcile in your mind that God is good, full stop. I don't care if I'm going through a divorce, God is good. I don't care if I just got fired, God is good. I don't care if I'm losing the house, God is good. I don't care if I'm losing the car, God is good. I don't care if they talked about me, God is good. I don't care if I'm rejected, my God is still good. He can't be anything but. Oh, I dare you real quick, touch three people and say, God is good. And because he's good, something good is about to happen. Oh, God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in here. Oh, God, touch three people and say, something good is about to happen for you. Oh, God, come on up in here, Holy Ghost. I feel chains breaking. I feel strongholds being diminished. I dare you prophesy to your neighbor and say something good is about to happen for you. All right, y'all sit down. Let me get to this thing. Oh, God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in here. They never taste of life, so they don't know what's good. And so when you don't know what's good, the enemy can always come and offer you a compromise that seems good. He didn't lie. He just compromised the words that God said and twisted them around and said, you're not going to surely die. If you eat this, then you will be like God. The problem is I'm already like him. So the enemy is always offering me something I already possess. So in essence, what he's trying to give me is time, because the process takes a little longer for me to discover what God already put inside me. So what the enemy does is he wants to speed up the time and say, you can have it now. Well, I don't want it now if God is not in the process, because then that means I'm going to have to maintain on my own what you're trying to give me. But if God is with me, then who can be against me? So I have to understand God is so good that time is not my enemy. He offers them time. They accept it. And when they accept the time, they eat of the fruit. Eve eats first. Adam was right there with her. Read your text. He didn't come later and ask them, what did he do? He was there in the conversation, but he was silent. Adam had complete authority to tell the serpent, get out of here, because he had the authority to name every animal. And therefore, he sat there and listened to the enemy's proposal. As long as you continue to listen, faith can be born. For faith comes by hearing, and we don't think that's negative. As long as you're listening to some nonsense, you're going to start believing the nonsense. Who am I talking to up in here? This is when you hear nonsense, you got to turn a deaf ear to it and say, I will not listen to you. This is why the Bible says we can defeat the enemy by not rebuking him. You ain't got to rebuke him. Resist him. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee. That means I'm not listening to you. Ain't no haps, bruh. We're not having no conversation. Because there might be some things I don't understand yet, but this I know, God is good. And what could you possibly offer me that he has not already offered me? And so they choose not to eat of life. They choose to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we call this original sin. We call this the fall. I call it the seed fall. And I call it original goodness. Because embedded in the text is a pronouncement. It is not a promise. It's a pronouncement. He does not promise Adam and Eve one thing or another, for the promise was already in place. He blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Look at your name and say, the blessing is still intact. The blessing is still intact. Oh, we're going to get somewhere with this thing. The blessing is still intact. He blessed them. That didn't come up off of them. And nor were they cursed. What was cursed was the ground. What was cursed was the process. But God did not curse them. And so he comes to the serpent and he says to the serpent, you're going to crawl on your belly and I'm going to make your diet dust. That means the only thing you're going to be able to eat is dust. What you won't be able to eat is destiny. And so I'll make sure that the only diet that you can digest is dust. So eat upon their flesh all you want to, but you cannot have their destiny because the blessing is still intact. Touch your name and say, the devil is about to eat my dust. David said it this way: when my enemies came about me to eat upon my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. Go ahead, touch somebody else and say, the devil is about to eat my dust. He's been trying to wreck my life, but the only thing he's able to eat is my dust. The part of me that's going to fall off anyway and return to the earth. But what he cannot have is my destiny. I dare you to encourage your neighbor right now and say, he can't have your destiny. He can't have your dream. He can't have your purpose. He can't have your potential. He can't have your identity, because your identity is tied to your destiny. All he can do is eat your dust. I wish I had a Holy Ghost filled sanctified church up in here that will say, devil, eat my dust. I'm about to leave you behind. I'm about to take a gigantic leap in the spirit. And every weapon you formed against me is about to fall by the wayside because it can't prosper. Somebody shout, eat my dust, devil, eat my dust. Eat my dust. You tried to break me, but eat my dust. You tried to kill me, but eat my dust. You should have got me when you had the chance. Now you're about to eat my dust. I had sickness, but you're about to eat the dust of healing. I wish I had somebody here. I was broke, but all the enemy could do was eat their dust, because the pronouncement was, of the dust of the ground you shall eat and crawl upon your belly. When he makes this pronouncement, he makes this pronouncement in such a way that it is the intimation of original goodness. In other words, God is saying to them, you tried to break them, but I already blessed them. And since I already blessed them, you can't curse what God has already blessed. So he blessed me before I messed up. That's why it's original goodness, because the blessing was already placed upon me before my breakdown. I wish I had somebody in here. Slap your name and say, I was already blessed. I was already blessed. Don't you know that God has already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus in heavenly places? I dare you shout, I'm already blessed. I'm already blessed. I know the enemy tried to break me, but he got... The enemy tried to break me, but the blessing got in the way. So this is the height of original goodness. This is God saying, I know you tried to break them, but I already blessed them. And in blessing them, I designed for them to become broken in the blessing. So you're trying to speed up the process of what I already started. You think you're breaking them, but I am breaking them also. And so he pronounces this blessing, and he says, as Paul says in Romans 16:20, Paul says it this way. Paul says, and in short time, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. In other words, when he makes this pronouncement, he says, I'm gonna tell you how bad the blessing is, that I'm gonna allow for mutual striking. I'm gonna let you strike.
strike his heel, but you'll only bruise it. But when you bruise his heel, it's going to awaken something on the inside of him that makes him stand up and crush your head. So every time the enemy comes in your life, it's just a heel strike for you to go like this. Who am I talking to up in here? Oh God, you should go like this for your kids, and you should go like this for your money, and you should go like this for your marriage. I dare somebody prophetically just to say, take that, devil. Slap your neighbor high five and say, it's just a bruise. It's just a bruise. I know he attacked your money, but it's just a bruise. I know he attacked your marriage, but it's just a bruise. Who am I talking to up in here? I know he messed with your psyche, but it's just a bruise. He tries. Y'all sit down. Y'all, I'm almost there. Y'all, don't rush me. He tried his best to break what God already designed to be broken. Because brokenness is the key to becoming. I don't have the time to go through it theologically with you, but when he put this whole thing in motion, he put everything in the seed. And the seed is designed to be broken. So the key to becoming is brokenness. Because what brokenness does, it allows you to let go, my God, of what you perceive to be true for the actual truth so that you can make real progress. Oh, so when Adam and Eve fell, they were naked and they opened their eyes open. This is the beginning of brokenness, when you can see who you really are and how covered and exposed you really are. And they sold fig leaves around them, because when you're broken, you're just trying to hide, and whatever you cover yourself with is insignificant and really doesn't cover anything, because God's idea of relationship is intimacy, which means you have to be completely exposed. That's why he said, who told you? You were naked. And in original goodness, he covered them in skin. Read your Bible. Ah, God, they tried to cover themselves, but the original goodness of God says, no, no, you can't cover yourself. You got to let me cover you. And if you let me cover you, then there will never be no condemnation that can happen in your life. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't mind being broken. I don't mind being broken. I don't care what you know about me. I'm still covered by the goodness of the Lord. And so the church, I allow this one little caveat. So the church has designed this wonderful concept called religion that tries to cover us insignificantly. And it requires you to come to the house of the Lord acting like you got everything together and that you're not broken, when God did the brokenness by design. He purposed brokenness in your life, and he purposed it at the process, because he allows the enemy to strike your heel so that you can rise up and crush his head. And it is in that process of being bruised, my God, of being bruised. The Bible says that Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. The word iniquities means shame. The word bruised means crushed. And so God designed for you to be able to be broken. That's why you got to learn to let certain things go. I know they didn't like you, let it go. I know they didn't love you, let it go. You're holding on to something so tight that's hindering you from depositing the seed in the vault so that God can release the thing that's on the inside of you. Touch your name, say, you gotta let it go. You gotta let it go. Your clutch is your crutch. What you're clutching on to is the thing that's causing you not to flourish. It's the thing that's causing you not to thrive. It's the thing that's causing you not to go to the next dimension, because you won't let it go. Because if I let it go, Pastor, I'm going to be crushed. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And so because of the crushing, we don't want to endure the pain. Here we go. Fast forward now to Mark's gospel. And it is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. So original goodness started in the garden. Ah, God, but original crushing also happened in the garden. What started in the garden with the first Adam that fell happened and started in the second garden with the second Adam that said, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. And so the breaking process begins to happen one more time in a garden called the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means the press. It means the crushing. It means the olive press. Why? Because God designed for you to be broken, which is a part of the blessing. And so we don't want to go through the crushing pain. Pain, my God, is not the problem, because pain is the process. Touch your neighbor and say, you're not in pain. You're in process. You're in process. You're in process. You're in process. You have to understand that God has you in process. And the reason why you're in process is because we have failed to honor that God is always unfolding the future in the process. And so for you to get to where God said you're supposed to be, there always has to be a crushing in that process. When a seed falls into the ground and dies, my God, it begins the crushing process. The moment it falls to the ground, the pressure from the soil begins to weigh in on the seed coat, and the seed coat begins to break into pieces and shatter over the whole seed. But you have to understand that the pieces that are breaking off of you is not the blessing. The blessing is on the inside of what's being broken. And until the coat can be broken, the blessing cannot be released. And so Jesus is in the garden, and he's got his three most trusted individuals with him, Peter, James, and John. And he separates himself from everybody. He says, pray with me, brothers, for an hour. And he leaves them where they are, and he goes to pray. When he goes to pray, he's in great anguish because he's the seed. But the problem is, he's also the vault. Because in him is every destiny. In him is every purpose. In him is every individual's access to God. And so he's not just the seed of the woman, because if you really want to think about it, women don't have seed. I wish I had somebody. Only men have seed. Y'all don't want to talk back to me. But God said the seed of the woman. I wish I had somebody. In other words, he was saying, I'm going to lock this thing up in the vault, yeah, that no individual can get to it but me. I wish I, and when I release it, it's going to be hers, because she is the pathway. I wish I had somebody to me getting back into the earth. Ladies, that's why the enemy hates your guts and tries to deal with you in emotional ways and distress. That's why you got to rise up and tell the devil, I'm the pathway for God to get back in the earth. And no devil in hell is going to stop my purpose, my destiny. I thought I had some sanctified ladies in the house. Watch this. And so he's in the garden and of Gethsemane, and he's looking for solace and help and support, and no one's helping him. Nobody. He's alone by himself. It's just him and God. Because in order for the seed to begin to germinate, it's got to crush the coat. The coat gets crushed. It doesn't matter if the seed goes to the cross with his coat intact. Because nothing can be released. And until it loses the coat, what's in the seed cannot take root. So the psychological pressure that Jesus is enduring in this moment is far more greater than the physical pain he's about to go through. Because I have to get it resolved in my mind. Because it is the only space of contention that the enemy can really have. And until I let it go in my mind, I will not be able to endure the breaking in my body. But if I can lay my will down, then I can make it through the process. Oh, touch your name and say, lay your will down and you'll make it through the process. We all got our own Gethsemane of stuff we want to hold on to where the pressure is too much and you say, God, take it away. I just want out. It's not what you escape that makes you triumphant. It's what you endure. He that endures to the end shall be saved. Slap your neighbor a high five real quick and say, you can make it through it. You can make it through it. The reason that you can make it through it is because he made it through it. It is the only reason that you can make it through it. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, you can deal with the pressure. Because he gave you the power. When Jesus went through that pressure and laid down his will and willingly sacrificed himself for all of us, he released the power to us to be able to go through enemy hell territory and make it out on the other side. Slap your neighbor a real good high five and say, you're going to make it out on the other side. I know it's been a great psychological warfare, but you're going to make it out on the other side. Your mind is just being renewed. You're just being refreshed and you're just being restored. I dare you to grab your neighbor by the hand and say, you're about to make it on the other side. I need you to get Holy Ghost sanctified real quick and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, not only am I going to make it on the other side, not only are you going to make it on the other side, when we get there, we're going to find some stuff that's still there. For the Bible says we are born again of incorruptible seed, that what God has promised us cannot rust, cannot die, and cannot be spoiled. Slap your neighbor a good high five and say, it's still there. Your destiny is still there. Your dream is still there. Your healing is still there. Your breakthrough is still there. I dare you to find somebody in this church who feel like they lost something. It ain't lost, baby. God put it in the vault. Three people say, it's not lost, it's not lost, it's in the vault, 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 it's in the vault. It ain't lost. Your dream is in there, baby. Your miracle is in there. Your breakthrough is in there. Who am I talking to in this room? It's in the vault. So when God gave me this and he said, I put everything in Christ, because Christ is my seed vault. He's my seed vault because of any catastrophe that would come, that was man-made or otherwise, I was going to ensure that there would still be life. So everything that you thought you lost, it is not lost. It's in the vault. And God said to me that he is about to unlock the vault. I wish I had a Holy Ghost church in here, because he's got the combination. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, you're the missing piece of the combination. The last combination to the vote unlocking is your praise. And if you were to release a praise unto God, it is the last. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. I don't want you to miss this moment. I don't want you to miss this moment. I don't want nobody to miss this moment. I am not your entertainer. This is thus saith the Lord. When researching the seed vault, the global seed bank, a question that I had to find the answer out for, which I only found in the video. How do you get access to the vault? Well, government sign a contract by covenant. In signing the contract, they ship in secure containers the seeds they want to preserve. So the only way to get access to the vault is by deposit. In like fashion, the Lord said that what he promised us is by contract. This is why he made the pronouncement to the enemy that you can only eat their dust, not their destiny. You cannot break what I already designed to be broken. And the reason they can be broken is because I blessed them before I broke them. And the reason I took them through the process of being broken is so that they would know how to handle the power once they got the seed out the vault. Because unless a seed falls into the earth and dies, it abides alone. But if it can go back through that process and die, it's going to produce much fruit. So the reason I broke you so that you can feel and know what it's like to be broken, but know that I'm going to bring you out on the other side, so that when I unlock what I have for you and you got to go through another process, you do it willingly because you know the outcome. I wish I had somebody in here. I wish I had somebody here. Look at your neighbor and say, the only way you can access the vote is by deposit. And when God showed me this spiritually, don't miss me, because I'm not trying to hype you. This is thus saith the Lord. I hope this go everywhere. I hope this go viral. I do. I really do. When God showed me this spiritually, I'm a prophetic imagining person, so I'm visual. And when he showed me, I could see the vault. It was massive, and it had all your dreams. It had your purposes. It had stuff that was covered in dust, but it was still good. It was still there, labeled with your name on it. I wish somebody really grabbed hold of this, because if you really want to be honest, you know you let some stuff go because you thought it was lost. God said it ain't lost. It's in the vault. It's still there. And he started to turn the door. And when he started to turn the door got locked. And I said, God, why is the door locked? You should have the key. He said, no, son, you got the key. If you would release a praise unto me, this thing will swing wide open. Y'all are messing me up in here. So do me a quick favor. Grab your neighbor by the hand. If they sitting down, say, you are crazy right now. All your stuff All your stuff is behind this praise. I hear you, Holy Ghost. I hear you, Holy Ghost. I hear you. I hear you. You think you fell. See, the problem with mankind is that we're finite. We're finite. So the moment something's done, we think something's over. And you think you fell. And God said, yeah, you fell right into my hand. Your dreams aren't lost. Your hopes aren't lost. I'm too old. No, you're not. You might have to let go portions of it that you had in mind. Sarah thought she was too old. If God has proven anything, is that the time doesn't matter. And this is why the enemy always offers you time. And I'm not telling you to praise God because I want my church shouting and dancing. I can do that with a chord. Thank you. I can do that with a chord. I can do that with the band. I can do that with music. And we can go to dancing. This ain't about that. This is about your destiny. And the reason why God told me to end it this way is because praise always relieves pressure. And you've been under pressure. Heavy psychological pressure. Some of you, I'm talking about believers, 10, 15 years in the Word of God, are saying, God, are you even real? Because it's not happening the way you want it to happen, and it's not coming through. It seems like every door's being shut. Every time you try to stand, having done all the stand, you find yourself on your back. Oh, God, I'm talking to somebody. And you're like, God, where are you? Why aren't you here? And you're about to accept the enemy's offer. And I came to tell you, turn it down. Turn it down. Because God put it in the vault. He banked it. Ah, I hear you, Holy Ghost. Ah. I hear the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry, I just... God said with interest. I'm sorry, I gotta walk that one off. I gotta walk that one off. I gotta walk that one off. So hear me clearly. This praise is a deposit into the vault. And when the vault opens, access is going to be granted and given. And you can go into the bins of your destiny and look for the seeds of your dreams and the seeds of your purpose. Oh God, you got seeds in there that you need to plant, that you need to get out of there. Remember, they're duplicates, they're backups. Because the first one was stolen, it was lost, it was, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat, and you ripped the whole thing up and didn't let it just grow, knowing that, not knowing that you can separate them at harvest. You gutted the whole thing. God said, I got backup for you. I got a backup for your dream. I got a backup for your purpose. I got a backup for your potential. I got a backup. I don't know who this word is for, but I know it's blessing me. I got a backup for it all. And so when you release this praise, y'all come on, get with me now. When you release this praise, it's to release everything that's in that vault. And it's your choice. It's your choice. You might not be accustomed to church. You might not know what I'm talking about. You might just came for communion because you come from Catholic traditional background and you just wanted to have communion. I don't know what it might be. This might not be your forte. This might not be your style. This might not be your taste. You might not even know what I'm talking about. What is he talking about? Release of praise. What is he talking? I'm saying you got to open your mouth. Scripture says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. And praise could be clapping. Praise could be singing. Praise could be vocal. Praise could be quiet. But in your heart, you have to say, God, I'm praising you right now in my way. I'm releasing this praise. I've been in so much pain. I'm under so much pressure. But I'm going to release this praise unto you anyway because I want to bless the Lord at all times and let his praise continually be in my mouth. And when I release this praise, I want to break the back of the devil to let him know I'm not giving up. I do not accept your offer. I deny it and I turn it down. And I choose to believe God because I know God is good. Throw your head back. Release that praise right now. Now and give God glory. Touch three people and say, I'm going in now and getting my stuff. I'm going in and getting my stuff. My dreams are in here. My hopes are in here. My breakthroughs are in here. My miracles are in here. I wish I had a church in here. I'm going in and I'm... Oh, I wish I had somebody that don't mind going in and getting their stuff. I dare you take 60 seconds and go in and get your... God says, access granted. Oh. Access granted. And he wants to seal that with you today in communion. Take your seats. Access granted. Access granted. Access granted. That's what the cross is all about. Access granted. It's not lost. It's in the vault. Jesus is one big seed bank. He's one big seed bank. Oh, that's so good. His
His seed bank was built on Calvary, deposited in a borrowed tomb. And after 3 days of being in a tomb, which was really a womb, he came out with power over death, sickness, disease, with redemption for all of us who were under the curse of the law. He is that incorruptible seed that we are born of, as Peter so eloquently stated. And God says to you that access is granted. He vaulted what he put in you so that you can discover it's not lost. And the enemy always wants to stop you from pursuing what God has put in you. So the psychological pressure that you've been under and enduring, the feeling of not being good enough and not having it all. I was having this dream. I'm going to be transparent if that's all right. I was having this dream, which was really like a nightmare. I had come to a place in my life in the dream that I knew that I was prepared for. And I was in this darkened room and surrounded by all these spotlights. And they were turning on the spotlights one by one. And when the spotlights came on, I wasn't prepared. I wasn't ready. I couldn't talk. I couldn't speak. I couldn't think. And for months, I would have that dream. Until one day, in the dream, as the lights came on, my spirit spoke in the dream and said, "Who's ever controlling these daggone lights? I'm ready." I woke up the next morning feeling so free and alleviated from any pressure. See, the enemy wants to convince you that when the lights come on, you're not going to be ready to do what God called you to do. That somebody's going to find out something about you. The problem that he has with me is that I'm going to tell you anyway. Y'all ain't said nothing. I'm going to tell you anyway. Because I'm not going to let you hold against me what God has already released me from. And you should neither. There's freedom in this process today. And I pray that your mind and your heart, your soul, your spirit was set free by what God spoke over you. Access has been granted to you. Communion is an act that remembers what's been granted. Jesus said, as often as you do this, you do so in remembrance of me. It is in the Passover process that Jesus institutes something that the disciples don't know about. They only know Passover in the Jewish tradition. But Jesus put something into this process that destroys the old paradigm. And it is interesting to me that all the pressure that he went through comes after he shifts the paradigm. Because new paradigms always brings pressure. No, you don't hear me. And so he comes to them and says, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." And they don't have a clue as to what he's talking about. "This bread is my body, which is broken for you." He's saying to them that what's in this cup, I'm about to become. What you do to this bread, I'm about to go through. And I'm going to do it so that you can have access. And so when we partake of communion, we're partaking of the memory of what was done for us to have access. As the ushers begin to serve you, I want you to remember you got access. It's been granted. Access to peace, access to joy, access to hope, access to love, access to power. You have access. Worship the Lord as we begin to receive Holy Communion. For he has already won the victory. He says, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In majesty, you are the reason.
You are the reason.
Say hallelujah,
hallelujah.
You have won.
You have won the victory.
Oh, say hallelujah,
hallelujah.
You have won it all.
You have won it all for me.
Say death could not hold.
Death could not hold.
It was in the night that our Lord was betrayed that he took bread and he blessed it and broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Receive the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped and said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. For as often as you drink it, you do so in remembrance of me. Receive the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to remember that we have access. So we come boldly to the throne of grace. Our praise relieves the pressure and unlocks the vault of everything that you have stored in Jesus Christ for us. For in him we live, we move, and we have our being. So, Father, we thank you that we leave this moment knowing full access is granted. We let the seed fall We pick up our purposes. We pick up our potential. We pick up the dreams that we left. We pick up the hopes that were dashed. Father, we pick up forgiveness because we've been walking around in unforgiveness. We pick up love because we've been bitter. We pick up all the seeds that are in the box of our lives to sow, to replenish, to reap a harvest. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise right now. God, you're seated in majesty.
Seated in majesty. Yeah.
Say you are the risen.
You are the risen.
Yeah. Say death could not hold. Everyone standing on your feet all over this great church, lift those hands unto the Lord. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. And may his precious blood cover you from now into eternity. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you Sunday morning.